Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Buffalo Beat. The Bills are getting ready to take on the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC divisional round. The 2-seed Bills against the 5-seed Ravens. The winner of that matchup will go up against the winner of the Chiefs-Browns game for the AFC Championship next weekend. But we've got a lot of business to get to today because this Bills Ravens matchup is going to be a pretty good one, it seems, just based on how the two teams are built, how some of their strengths and weaknesses line up with one another, the bigger picture storylines that are surrounding this game. This one is chock full of stuff. And of any of the opponents I think the Bills could have played in the second round, I'd wager a guess that the Ravens would be the one that fans wanted to see the least from the Steelers, Titans, Ravens, Browns mix. But that's their fate in this playoffs. And in the playoffs, if you can't beat a team like the Ravens, then you don't deserve to win a Super Bowl in general. So here we are. My name is Joe Biscaglia. With me, as always, my co-host Matthew Fairburn, and we have a lot to get to today. And we'll first start off with just the biggest part about this game, and really, you know, all due respect to Baker Mayfield over there playing against the Chiefs. He has nowhere near gotten to the level of what Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have been able to do so far in their young career. And in this game, it assures that one of those 2018 quarterbacks, two of the last three of the first round quarterbacks that were taken that year, will make it to the AFC Championship game. So that part in itself should be pretty fun alone.
Yeah, these are the two quarterbacks that were probably the most debated heavily leading into that draft. Two lightning rods for, polarizing debate on both sides. I think probably the two that people have doubted the most, even as they've achieved success earlier in their careers. You know, I think Lamar Jackson, before the draft, had to deal with talking heads and even some NFL teams suggesting that he try out or play wide receiver in the NFL, which is kind of ridiculous on its face. But then he goes and has an MVP season, and still we hear constantly about the fact that he can't throw. I think the Bills know pretty well what he can do through the air, considering he threw three touchdowns against them last year. And then you've got Josh Allen, who, you know, dealt with a whole mountain of criticism himself in the first 2 years of his career as he kind of gained his footing a little bit and had a slower developmental curve than some of these, you know, than somebody like Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, who had these second year breakouts. His came in year three, but still, I think there's been, you know, some it took probably till the second half of the season for people to fully buy into what he's done. And, you know, it goes to show, I think, with both of these guys, the importance of picking a guy, believing in that guy, and building your team, your system, your organization around what that guy does. And, you know, the Cardinals and the Jets missed on their quarterbacks, but they also missed on the other parts of it, the, you know, building the infrastructure around the guy. And, you know, you saw the Cardinals course correct a little bit by drafting Kyler Murray number one overall and bringing Cliff Kingsbury in an offense that suits his skill set. That, to me, I think is the key to building a young quarterback in the NFL in 2020. Having that sort of conviction to take what you do and mold it to the guy that you picked. And that's why Lamar Jackson probably doesn't work everywhere. It's not a Lamar Jackson problem. It's an NFL problem. I think this idea that he only would have worked in Baltimore says more about Baltimore and the rest of the league than it does about Lamar Jackson, because you had a team like the Arizona Cardinals sitting there needing a quarterback, looking at him and saying, no, that's not really what we do, so we're not going to take that guy. Or even the Bills saying, you know, this is a guy that we just had a mobile quarterback and that didn't work, so we're going to go another direction with a guy who's still mobile, but, you know, bigger, mm-hmm. stronger arm, more of the pocket passing traits. So it's worked out for both the Bills and the Ravens in large part because of what they've done around the quarterback, not just of, you know, because of who the quarterbacks are, but they're also both really exciting talents to watch. And I think that's what makes this sort of the marquee game on the schedule this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it gets the Saturday night billing. It's going to be a very late night, but it's also on a Saturday, so people will be all amped up and everything to watch it. Two pretty different styles of quarterbacking, but surrounded by an offense and offensive play callers, like you pointed out, that are completely in tune with what those quarterbacks like to do, what they're best at, and how they can put them in the best possible way to succeed. And for the Ravens, it's a lot of misdirection, testing the defense every single snap, making sure the defense is fundamentally sound in tackling and in not taking the bait on certain things, and trying to create really anarchy within the defensive scheme, because they are putting pressure on about three different spots, at least three different spots on any given play, to where you just are thinking about so many different things. And that's why they've been so successful over the last couple of seasons with Lamar Jackson. And then for Josh Allen, it's all about the pass attack. I mean, they have turned this into a route running extraordinaire type of offense, where those receivers are featured heavily because of how much separation they get and how it's in tune with Allen and how he's been able to really grow as a thrower from his rookie year to his second year, and most notably from his second year to now his third season in the 2020 regular season and the 2021 playoffs here. So having those two kind of go toe-to-toe, I do think one game script probably favors one quarterback more than the other. But you know, it really all depends on how these defenses choose to play the quarterbacks, because those are the marquee guys. It's not stop a running back like it was for the Ravens last week with Derrick Henry. And, you know, Tannehill is really good at play action, and he's made some really solid throws. Even in that game, he made some really solid throws. But the big emphasis for them was to stop the running attack. And that's kind of the way it's been for the Ravens for a long part of the season. I mean, you go back and look at their schedule. The last time they've played a prolific passing attack this season was in September against Kansas City. And Kansas City put up 34 points on them. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the Ravens defend Josh Allen And that's because we know how the Bills are probably going to defend Lamar Jackson, because we've seen it before and we've seen kind of hints of it. Maybe a little bit of a change in perspective from how they defended Kyler Murray in week 10. But how the Ravens are defending the new version of Josh Allen, as opposed to what they did last year by blitzing him like crazy, that will be the most interesting part to this game for me.
Yeah, it's one of the things that is so different about this matchup compared to a year ago. I think there's a lot that you can draw on that 2019 game, because there's so much personnel and coaching that's similar. But the way the Ravens blitz has not changed. It's who they are. But the way Josh Allen has been able to burn that blitz has changed in a dramatic way. He's one of the best statistical passers in football against the blitz when teams bring more than four rushers. So that's something that they have to keep in mind. I think it's something that they'll keep in mind when they go to things like cover zero, which they mixed in sparingly last year against Josh Allen, but it was very effective when they did. And I don't know. It's to me, the blitzing question is an interesting one, because on the one hand, Josh Allen's been a lot better against the blitz. You can't simply blitz him and he's going to be lost, because he has guys that can get open quickly. Number one, he has the ability to avoid rushers and extend plays. And when he extends plays, he's doing a much better job of turning those into big plays for his team and not the other team. Now, the thing of it is, though, not many teams have been able to bring him to the ground consistently. And the Ravens do that. So, you know, it's not necessarily about how often you blitz, it's about how effectively you blitz. And if you're able to get to him, I think they have the guys to bring him down. You know, strong tackling front seven players, fast, quick to close. You know, Calais Campbell's probably not letting Josh Allen out of his grasp very easily. Matthew Judon, probably the same thing. So yeah, I'm curious to see how they have a few things on the Ravens defense. They've certainly got the tools to effectively blitz and apply pressure, but then they also have a pretty deep stable of cornerbacks, which is what allows them to do that in the first place. You know, you can blitz a lot when you have guys who can cover. Question is, how good can they cover? You know, I mean, how well are they going to keep up with Stephon Diggs, John Brown, and Cole Beasley, and Gabriel Davis? That's four deep. So that really tests your depth at cornerback. And I think that's what the story of the game will be, how those guys cover the Bills receivers, because that has a ripple effect on everything else the Bills do. If they're able to be pretty effective, then that blitz is going to be a bit more effective. And it's about that scramble drill, you know, when he does break the pocket, when he does slip the first pass rusher, you know, how sticky are they on those receivers? Because they're a scary group on the back end. And I don't know that the Bills have seen another group quite as good in coverage as the Ravens this year. It's what happens when you get to this point in the year. You know, you end up with some really good teams. It's a much different defense than they played against last week with the Colts, because this group will bring pressure and the Colts don't really do that. So yeah, I think Josh Allen's way more equipped to handle what the Ravens are going to throw at him now than he was in 2019. But it's still, you know, I'm not necessarily looking at Josh Allen's blitz numbers and brushing off the concern of the Ravens' pressure, because they're a different animal when it comes to bringing the quarterback down. And that's, you know, I was having a conversation actually with Mark Gahn in the press box last week about this from the Buffalo News. We were talking about pass rush win rate and, you know, all these metrics you can use for pass rushers, because it's a hard position to measure statistically sometimes, accurately anyways. And as we were talking, I thought to myself that the thing that you almost want most out of a pass rusher is the classic stat, is sacks. Because these days, pressure alone isn't always going to get it done. Or what looks like pressure, but that's easy to escape for some of these mobile quarterbacks, doesn't do you a whole lot of good. And for, you know, against Josh Allen, pressure is one thing, but it's hitting him and bringing him down and impacting his throws. It's not simply moving him off the spot. That's true of a lot of quarterbacks these days. Moving a guy off the spot isn't enough. You know, so many guys are good at throwing from outside the pocket, or guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are so good at throwing from different platforms that you need to be. We've seen it probably as much as anybody the last few years, because we've seen a lot of guys try to tackle Josh Allen. If your pass rushers aren't capable of doing that consistently, your pass rush doesn't matter as much, nearly as much, almost doesn't matter at all, because it might do you more harm than good in some cases. And the same will be true for the Bills with Lamar Jackson. You let him escape, you would have been better off trying to contain him. So, I think that'll be a big deal, is if you can get your hands on him, bring him down, which is not easy to do, but kind of pull the Aaron Donald, if you will, as he did against Josh Allen, where he was got him in his grasp and was not even considering letting him go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there are a few different ways for the Bills to have to try and prepare for this game. I do wonder about the overall blitz heaviness of Wink Martindale, the defensive coordinator for the Ravens, and whether or not he's going to try and test them. I think there's going to be like a feeling out period right at the beginning of the game, because, you know, we talk a lot about matchups and what matters to individual games, and a lot of times it's the guys on the field. But man, the Brian Daboll versus Wink Martindale thing is just going to be phenomenal to watch it unfold, because Daboll has so many more things at his disposal now than he did this time last year. You know, namely a quarterback that can take over a game. And now we have to see what his first shot at the Ravens defense is, and what the Ravens counterpunch to that is, and then the Bills counterpunch to that counterpunch. I mean, it's just going to be phenomenal to track the entire game. And I brought up that Chiefs game before, which I think was an important one, because if you look at the Ravens schedule, like let's go through with it. They played the Chiefs in week 3 of the season. They lost 34-20. Patrick Mahomes threw for 385 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. So he took it to that pretty darn good secondary, and had one of his best games of the year. Since they have played the Chiefs, the teams that they have played have been Washington, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, which a run-heavy team, as we know, New England, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Cleveland, Jacksonville, the Giants, and then Cincinnati in week 17 when they were starting, gosh, was it Brandon Allen? I don't even remember. But there's not like a heavy pass team that they've seen since that point. And I think that's going to be a bit of a factor in this one. I wonder how much Daboll is going back to that Kansas City game to see concepts that worked against the Baltimore Ravens team. I also wonder how much the Ravens are going to actually stick in man-to-man coverage, because as we've seen throughout the season, when teams go to man-to-man coverage, the Bills and Josh Allen usually do pretty well against it. And, you know, I suppose he's also done pretty well against zone coverage and has forced zone-based teams to go into man coverage more and more. Like the one I reference usually is Seattle. San Francisco did the same thing down the stretch of that game. But I wonder, because the Ravens haven't called as much man-to-man this year as they did last year, I wonder if maybe that's kind of the first thing to kind of catch the Bills off guard, that they're expecting man-to-man coverage and more so play in a zone and have some zone blitzes. There's so many different ways that they can go about it. But like I said, the matchup between Daboll and Martindale, that's the most compelling part to this outside of the Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson stuff, because you have two incredibly smart football minds that can win games with their game plans. Of course, you need the players to execute it, but their concepts can help their teams win games. Whereas you can't say the same of a lot of coordinators in the league. So those two guys in particular are just, that's some A1 stuff right there. It's just going to be high level football intelligence unfolding in front of our eyes. And I can't wait to see it.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yeah, I think they're, you know, last week what the Ravens were able to do to the Titans, you know, shows what that defense can do, because the Titans aren't what the Bills are as a passing offense, but they are, you know, scheme-wise it's different, but they are one of the most efficient passing offenses in football, and they've got Derrick Henry. So that was a pretty good offense that they ran head first into and came out looking really good. The big thing for, and this is true of most games, but the Bills and Ravens were almost identical in toxic differential, almost the same turnover differential and same big play differential. And those two things, especially this time of year, they're really everything, aren't they? I mean, look at last week. There were no turnovers. So it was, who's going to make more big plays? And I would say the Bills did that just barely. That's why the game was so close, because the turnover differential was even and because they were trading big plays. You cannot let this Ravens defense get a big play. You can't let them, you know, and interceptions, one thing. Not all interceptions are created equal. Not all turnovers are created equal. I'm not saying a turnover is an automatic loss for the Bills, but this team feeds off of that defense in a lot of ways. And if they generate a big play, a turnover that sets them up for an easy score, or a turnover that turns into a score, that's where this team gets dangerous, when they can get out in front and they can start really running the ball. They're a pretty scary team. But it's not that you're right. It's not that you can't score on these guys. It's not that, you know, no teams have cracked the code. Even the Browns put up a fair amount of points on this Ravens team, albeit they were banged up. But,
and Baker didn't even look good in that game.
He threw for, you know, 300. He was one of the only quarterbacks to throw for 300 against these guys, but it was more of a volume game than anything else.
Lots of pass attempts, lots of short pass attempts.
And
too,
they were banged up. I forget which corner was hurt, but one of their big name corners wasn't playing in that game.
I think it was Jimmy Smith.
At least one of them. So
Marcus Peters and Humphrey were both playing in that game.
Yeah, so they were a little shorthanded on the back end. But yeah, they can get into those kind of games where it's a bit of a track meet. And, you know, that's where you have to keep them in the right game script. You have to keep them guessing a little bit with some play action and different things like that. But it's a good group. They're fun to watch on defense, because really on both sides of the ball, the Ravens are interesting because they do things a bit differently, obviously way more differently on offense than a lot of teams in the NFL, than basically every other team. And they're also different on defense, you know, because of the mix of players they have and Wink Martindale being able to bring all sorts of different schemes at you. And you're right, they play man-to-man coverage like roughly 40% of the time. That's 60% of the time that they play zone. So they're going to mix it up. They're not going to bring a straightforward attack. And this is so much a chess match between two really good coaching staffs on both sides of the ball. Of, you know, you even heard it this week. Jerry Hughes mentioned late in the week, you know, what worked against Lamar Jackson last year was great, but we're not going to do the same thing this year. Maybe that's true. Maybe they are going to do some of the same things. I don't know. You know, there's that type of thing where they haven't seen each other so often that they're overly familiar with one another, but, you know, they've seen each other pretty recently. And, you know, that creates an interesting cat and mouse game when you're trying to figure out what exactly these teams are going to do.
Yeah, the gamesmanship is evident. I mean, even Sean McDermott at the beginning of the week, when asked about that game specifically, said, yeah, I'm pretty sure they're watching that game too. So I think he kind of knows that he can't do the same thing probably because the Ravens are scheming for that. And the Ravens have added some more wrinkles that would attack that sort of the way that they defended Lamar Jackson last time. I mean, there was one play against, I think it was against the Browns, where he motioned J.K. Dobbins into the backfield. Lamar Jackson was in shotgun. Dobbins was standing right next to him. It was a zone read to the outside, and it essentially froze Myles Garrett because it had Dobbins taking a wide angle, and because Myles Garrett thought he was just going to hand it off and have the wide angle, and because that was his main responsibility to make sure to push everything wide, he kind of took a step with Dobbins. It froze him, then found out that Lamar Jackson still had the ball, and Lamar Jackson still cut it out wide, but just dipped under Myles Garrett. Like, these are types of things that will keep McDermott and Leslie Frazier up at night because they're just so dynamic. And like I said at the beginning of the show, there are about three or four different things you have to be thinking about at all times on any given play against the Ravens. And that's why the game script part that you talked about is so important, because if the Ravens get to the point in the game where they are winning and they have the ball, then there's only one thing on their mind: to run it, to, you know, mix in some passes just to keep the offense honest, but mostly to run it down your throats and to make you so frustrated that you get out of position from one play to the next. And that works for them. I think the difference here is just the way that the two teams are built, because the Ravens can come from behind and win a game in comeback fashion, but that's not their optimal. Like, if you had to choose which offense,
it's really nobody's that you want optimal.
Yeah, of course.
That's one of my my favorite things. Is it is more true of the Ravens than say a team like the Bills that likes to throw.
Yes,
but it's a favorite exactly. of mine. Of it was a criticism of these Bills for a while is, oh, they don't like to play from behind. Well, nobody does, you know,
like, yeah, it's
most people like to play from out in front, but that is also, you know, kind of what you're talking about, that Michael Lombardi wrote about it at The Athletic this week, the first half point differential. If you're going to end up in the Super Bowl, you were probably in the top six in first half point differential during the season. Both of these teams were. So that's how they found their success. Both of these teams. How often have the Bills been down 10 points this year? Probably not.
Right.
Not often. So we don't know how well this team is equipped to deal with that sort of thing. I think they were technically down 10 against the Jets, oddly enough.
We've seen them come from behind in fourth quarter situations, like the Rams game, the Cardinals game. There are some,
yeah, when they need a drive,
specifics. Exactly.
They can go out and get it. And you know, the Ravens, I think the big thing with them is as long as they can keep running, you know, they kept up in a back and forth game with the Browns largely because of that. They also had, you know, Lamar also hit on some big passing plays, but they were down 10-0 last week and kind of just stuck with what they did. Now, the Titans didn't score a lot more points after getting up 10-0. So that was part of it too. The defense plays a role. But yeah, certainly when you look at how this game is going to play out. That first, you know, the first two quarters are going to be a pretty big deal, but there's also a very realistic outcome where at the end of two quarters, the game's within a score anyways. So it could very well be a slugfest in that manner. And but certainly if one team can get out and play from in front, you know, both of these teams have shown that's how they like to do it.
Yeah, neutral game script will probably be abundant throughout. But if you had to pick between the two teams which you would want to be in negative game script, you would probably favor the Bills just because they can move the ball through the air a lot more efficiently. And if the defense is limiting, which is very difficult to do against Lamar Jackson, if they're limiting them and containing to, let's say, gains of 10 or fewer, then it's going to take that team a while to get down the field. So it you know, just by logic, it favors a passing attack that can get 15, 20 yards whenever they want throughout the game to get them down the field quicker. So, you know, both these teams have the ability to come back. However, I think something you hit on early in the podcast is of key importance here. And it really all relates back to how the Bills offensively will go about this game. And I think the Zach Moss injury certainly plays a minor role, but I don't know if it would have played a major role in this. If I'm honest, I would not be shocked if this team and Brian Daboll just goes all in on throwing the ball around as much as possible against the Ravens. I mean, we talk about needing to have cornerback depth against this Bills team. You look at where the Ravens are good and what type of receivers they struggle against. The type of receivers that the Bills have are what those guys usually struggle against. Marlon Humphrey is the exception here. I think he's extraordinarily talented, especially in man-to-man situations. You know, that touchdown allowed to A.J. Brown notwithstanding at the beginning of the game last week. I think Humphrey's just been awesome this year. But I do think there are opportunities for the other players. And not to mention Humphrey, when the opponent are in a three wide receiver or four wide receiver set, is usually facing the slot receiver. So it's not as though he'll be following Stephon Diggs around everywhere. They do have Marcus Peters, who is a really good corner in his own right and has long arms and comes away with clutch interceptions, as we've seen in the past from him. But I do think that Diggs can beat Peters. And I also think that John Brown has the type of footwork that will give Jimmy Smith problems. And I just wonder if maybe Brian Daboll goes all in, maybe even more than we've seen him at any point this year, go with four wide receivers a bunch. And that'll be like the first punch in the chess game between these two guys. Because if there's one thing that I would not be confident in if I'm the Ravens, it's of the cornerback depth and how they match up with the guys that the Bills have at receiver. I mean, what do they do in four wide receiver situations? Do they get lighter on the field? Do they keep a linebacker out there and just play more zone? Do they bring out a fourth corner in, I think his name is Anthony Averett, who has struggled at times this year? Like, there's a lot of different ways that they can go about it, but if you're putting your fourth corner out there, then you are putting him probably against Gabriel Davis, who could start in the NFL. So that's a mismatch right there. So that's going to be the thing I'm most enthralled to see from how the Bills approach this, because I do think there is a potential advantage there. And not having Zach Moss and not having to feign the approach that you're going to be run heavy at times. Sure, mix in the run every once in a while, but their biggest advantage in this game will be to get the ball out quickly, efficiently, and against when they are in man coverage, against them to allow their receivers go to work. And I do wonder if maybe it's a little bit similar to how they approached the Steelers game as well, where they were trying to get the ball out of Josh Allen's hand a little bit quicker, like they have the last couple of years. So a lot of things that Dable could do, but I really like that receiver versus cornerback matchup for them in particular.
I think the Ravens probably have as good of a chance as anybody in terms of their depth at corner to slow down the Bills, but I think the fact of the matter is it's pretty much a mismatch against everybody. You know, that the Bills can take advantage of having, you know, those four receivers. There's not many teams that are going to have a ton of luck. I do think the Ravens have as good a chance as anybody, though. I think, you know, Anthony Averett is not, you know, a superstar, but for a fourth corner, he's pretty good. So that'll be kind of the big thing with this game is how do those guys deal with the Bills' four receivers? Because if they have some problems, the Bills will just keep going back to it. And, you know, they can, I think the big thing, getting the ball out quickly, working the screen game, will be a big deal. The Chiefs are really good at that. You know, you mix in the quick passing game and then, you know, you can hit on a deep shot later in the game. I think that's probably the approach against these guys. But another factor to consider is that the Ravens did lead the league in forced fumbles this season. Marlon Humphrey forced 8 and Marcus Peters forced 4 of those. So that's 12 between, you know, their two star corners. Talking about big plays, that's a big deal. You know, making sure that when you do throw your receivers in the quick passing game that they're taking care of the football. But I just like the matchup in general. I don't know who comes out on top in it. I don't know if the Bills will burn these guys. They've burned almost everybody with those receivers. So that, you know, gives me makes me think that they'll be able to do it more often than not. But I also feel like in studying, you know, their matchups every week over the course of the season, I don't remember seeing four corners like this and thinking that they could stack up. But I think when you get to this time of the year, you should lean into your strength. You should take what got you there and go for it. You should not try to hide, you know, shy away from that and get, you know, too smart for your own good. Use what your strength is and use what got you there. And if the Ravens corners have a great day and you have to shift back to, you know, figure something else out, that's, you make the adjustment, but you don't start out the game thinking, well, we can't throw it to these receivers because of their cornerbacks. No, because they're thinking the same thing on the other side about how they're going to defend those four receivers. So don't make it easy on them by avoiding them. But yeah, those guys are good. Humphrey, Smith, Peters, Averett. I mean, like you said, Humphrey, you know, moving into the slot. It's just an interesting mix of corners that I don't, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think I've seen another group four deep quite like this one that they've played against.
I'm just going to disagree a little bit. I don't really like Jimmy Smith anymore. I think his best days are kind of behind him, and I think good footwork can beat him. And I think the same can be said of Averett. But you know, either way, those are still players that they've given a lot of reps to over the years. I even think they're down a corner. A slot corner. I can't remember his name. It's Taven something. Taven Young. That's right. Tavon Young. But they, in just seeing what kind of gave Jimmy Smith problems, I think that's pretty conducive if he's going one-on-one against John Brown. Of course, John Brown has to be a lot better than he was this past week. But yeah, it's going to be very compelling either way. The other part of it is, We touched on defense a little bit, how they approach it and whether or not it is in fact going to be different. You know, if you head over to The Athletic and check out the piece that Shiel Kapadia and Ted Wynn did about, you know, looking at the specific angles to this matchup, and really one of the things that were most interesting was in how the Bills tried to defend Arizona. and with their zone read stuff and Kyler Murray, and they did an all right job for a while. There are also some clear misfires from them, and they line it up with some stills from the film and everything like that. It's really good stuff. But the one type of method that they had that differs from what they did against Baltimore last year, I think we all remember, you know, we saw Shaq Lawson, you know, get his shoulders parallel to the back end zone line and just kind of shuffle his feet to try and keep forcing Lamar Jackson out wide. That was their approach last year, and to try and encourage those carries to the interior so that way Lamar Jackson doesn't beat you with the huge plays to the sidelines. What they did against Kyler Murray, which is what Ted and Sheil pointed out, was just this concept of crashing down immediately on the running back, forcing the quarterback to keep it, and then refilling that lane with a second defender. We actually saw the Titans do a pretty good job of this, and you know their safeties did a really nice job of not taking the bait of the offensive line moving one way, because that's something that the Ravens like to do. They'll move the entire operation to the right side, and then they'll have Lamar Jackson or the running back go to the backside on the left side, where there's only maybe a receiver and a blocker in front of them, but they're just hoping that everyone takes the bait, and they like that matchup in space with one of those guys. But the Titans filled that lane really well for a lot of it. They had some errors where they let Lamar Jackson get loose a couple of times. It's going to happen. He's a dynamic player. But all in all, I just wonder if maybe that's the Bills' full approach. Maybe they mix it up from snap to snap. You know, that part of the cat and mouse game as well, Greg Roman versus Sean McDermott, will be just as compelling. I mean, these are two extremely well-coached teams, as I'm sure a lot of you are hearing. These four people, and throw Leslie Frazier in the mix too, because he controls that defense. You know, these five coaches are so in tune with just like the chess pieces that it takes to kind of be successful. And that's why this is such a marquee matchup. And when you put star players on top of it in, you know, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Stephon Diggs, and then you tack on some good supporting complementary players like J.K. Dobbins, Mark Andrews, Cole Beasley, John Brown, Marquise Brown, all of these different things. I mean, it's just, it'll be really fascinating to see how the Bills play it, and if they even differ it from snap to snap from what they want to do and what they're trying to confuse Lamar Jackson with.
Yeah, they, you know, I mentioned that Jerry Hughes said that they're not going to do the same thing that they did last year, which maybe that's true, maybe it's not. Who knows? Maybe he let out a little bit more information than the Bills would have liked, but I think they were clearly effective at what they did. A lot of it comes down to your defensive ends being able to, you know, have a fair amount of discipline and not get too over anxious, especially not just with, you know, of course, Lamar Jackson's a special athlete at the position. He's a guy that runs the ball from the quarterback position better than anybody in the league, averages 6 yards a carry, had, you know, a whole bunch of runs. He, Gus Edwards, and J.K. Dobbins combined for 26 runs of 20-plus yards this year and 68 runs of 10-plus yards. So the three of them ranked in the top four in 20-plus yard runs, which tells you something about this running offense. But Lamar Jackson can pass too. So, you know, when I think that's where you see some teams get in trouble is, you know, when he does drop back, losing contain on him then, because they do have some traditional pro style type of passing schemes that you have to account for, but you can't sit there in two high safeties and expect to contain their running game. So it is a little tricky. And, you know, those defensive ends have to make sure that they're not going all out at the quarterback and missing and letting him extend plays and get outside the pocket and have those 30, 40 yard runs that occasionally end in touchdowns, because those break games wide open.
Yeah, and that's what happened to the Titans last week. Like, they did a pretty good job of containing him when he was on the zone reads and the read options and everything like that. But they just had that one snap where, you know, they drop back into his zone coverage like you probably should be doing. You don't want to play much man-to-man when Lamar Jackson is the quarterback, because, you know, if he breaks loose and the whole side of the field is gone, then, you know, he's also going to be gone and in the end zone, and the Ravens will be getting 6 points. But the Titans were even in a zone, and the routes just took the attention of the linebackers, had a couple guys turn the wrong way, and Lamar Jackson just, with his pure speed, he broke out of the pocket, and he was gone. I think it was a 42-yard touchdown, just like the snap of a finger. It was that easy. So that is something that is another element to him which makes him so good and so, I guess, nightmarish for defensive coordinators, because you can do everything right and he could still burn you for 6 points on a play that you think you have confined, because he's that explosive.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, let's get to the pick, because we've talked a lot about the matchup, the big picture stuff, everything like that, the chess game that will be happening at Bill Stadium on Saturday night. So the line for this game, it's been kind of going up and down, but right now on DK Sportsbook, the Bills are favored by 2.5 points, which is where I believe it started. The total of the game is 49.5 points. So, Matthew Fairburn, who wins the game? Who covers the spread? And what do you have, over or under?
I have Bills winning the game, Bills covering the spread, and the only thing that I'm a little bit, you know, so I picked the game on Monday, and I picked the Bills to win 24-20, which would be
under.
But
how dare you?
But that was Monday, so yeah, you know, it was early in the week. Typically, my thoughts on who's going to win don't really change throughout the week, so that's why, you know, for these playoff games, I've just been picking them on Mondays and going with my gut. But you know, after diving into the matchup, I think a lot of that had to do with the forecast. That was part of it, you know, seeing that it looked like it could get messy. And so I erred on the side of low scoring. But right now, on Thursday afternoon here, I'm liking the over. I don't know the exact score. Maybe we'll go something like 27-24, 31-27, something in that range. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be, bit of a back and forth game, but I trust both these teams to be able to put up points. And I went with the Bills because I think Josh Allen is playing really well right now. Sometimes it's that simple. Like stopping Lamar Jackson sometimes can be as simple as getting good defensive line play. The Bills winning games can sometimes, as we saw last week, be as simple as Josh Allen being the best player on the field. Can he do that against this defense? It's the biggest test yet, but I tend to think he'll pass. It could go, you know, it's the divisional round. It could go either way, but Josh Allen is inspiring a lot of confidence right now.
Yeah, most certainly. And as far as the weather part of it, even if it does start to snow a little bit, maybe get a little slippery or there's some sort of condensation out there, you know, there is this element to that as well. As long as it's not like over the top where you're just running through snowbanks like they did against the Colts a couple of years ago. But there's also a line of thinking over in the land of soccer where strikers prefer when it's a little bit rainy or there's a little bit of snow on the ground, because it is so much easier to know where you're going as an offensive player and to have the defensive player react to you, where it could encourage more slips, because it's 10 times easier to run forward than it is to backpedal in that type of stuff. So there is that element to it if the weather becomes a factor. All right, so for my pick, like I said before in the podcast, I really like how the Bills receivers match up with the cornerbacks not named Marlon Humphrey. I think Humphrey can take Cole Beasley close to out of the game if they're in man-to-man a bunch. If it's zone, then Beasley's going to be heard from in the matchup. I also kind of wonder, going along with the four wide receiver thing, if maybe, and this will probably be a long shot, but I considered the idea of them calling up Kenny Stills and making two tight ends inactive for the game and dressing, let's say, Dawson Knox and Tyler Croft, because those are their two best receiving guys. So just to give them another option and maybe something that the Ravens haven't seen before, but you know, I feel less confident about that. Either way, the top four receivers of the Bills, you know, and their specific matchups, I think if they're going man-to-man, I think Humphrey will be on Beasley. I think Peters will be on Stephon Diggs. I think Jimmy Smith will be on John Brown. And then Averett will be on Gabriel Davis. And if those are indeed the matchups, the only one that I don't like for the Bills is Beasley versus Humphrey. I think Diggs, and the way that he runs routes, can give Marcus Peters a lot of problems in man-to-man coverage. And I feel similarly about John Brown against Jimmy Smith, who looks a little bit more, I guess, he doesn't look as fluid as he once did earlier in his career. Jimmy Smith, I'm talking about. So because of that specific matchup, the Bills are going to have to put up points, no doubt about it. But I think the Bills can put up points on the Ravens. And I would not be surprised, in fact, I am picking it, that the Bills get into the 30s in this game. So I thought I was going to pick the Ravens to win, but after watching a bunch of Ravens film and seeing what they have to offer and seeing how good they are, where they struggle, this is not a juggernaut of a team. It's a good team, don't get me wrong, but it's also a team that the Bills can beat, and the Bills have beat this caliber of team before this season. So I'm taking the Bills. I'm going to go with the score of 33-27. So that is the Bills covering the 2.5-point spread and hitting the over comfortably, because I do think the Ravens will have success on the ground. One matchup I don't like for the Bills defensively, I think Gus Edwards could be an underrated guy in this game, because they tend to struggle with physicality, north-south type of runners. And he is exactly that. He will punish you. And if you're not there to make the tackle initially, then he's going to run right through you. So I think the over-under on Gus Edwards is 34.5 yards. So, you know, if you're inclined, that might be something to take a look at.
Get that but, in a couple of runs, the way he has, you know,
exactly
the way he rips off chunks of yardage. The running backs are almost as much to deal with as Jackson. And Jackson is part of why they're such a handful, but like I mentioned,
Dobbins is really good.
Dobbins and Lamar Jackson both average more than 6 yards a carry. And like I mentioned, these guys are all in the top four of ripping off 10 and 20 plus yard runs.
I think the lines on all of them, I think it was Edwards 34.5. That's the one that stood out. I think Dobbins was 52.5, if I'm not mistaken. If I got that totally wrong, I'm sorry. But I know for a fact Lamar was 77.5. So those are, I wouldn't touch the Lamar one just because the Bills held him to 41 last time they played. But, you know, the Ravens are going to be able to run against the Bills. It's going to happen. The Bills have not been able to stop run-heavy teams the entire game. Like that Colts game, they did a really good job for most of the game, for 24 of the 27 Colts running back carries. Those other three plays amounted to 83 yards and cooked their rushing average allowed, that is. So the Ravens are probably going to have some success on the ground. Don't think that the Bills are just going to stop them completely. I think the other sneaky element to this game that, you know, works for the Bills a bit more than it did last year is the fact that the Ravens only have one incredibly athletic tight end at their disposal this year, Mark Andrews. The last time these two teams played, they had both Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews, and Hurst was the one that ended up with the, what was it, 60-plus yard touchdown. So that is an element to the game too, but, you know, this is going to be a close game. It's going to be a fun game. You fans are probably going to be nervous the entire game. The Ravens are probably going to lead at some point in the fourth quarter, but I think the Bills have enough through their passing attack to be able to put this one away and get to the AFC Championship game. I do.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, people got to do some deep breathing exercises before the game, maybe get a nap in, get into a good good zen place, and then let some chaos ensue for a few hours because it's going to be, you know, one of those games. But yeah, I think they stack up okay. You know, this was right at the gun last week. We were asked about, you know, in the headline package we did, you know, which matchup would be the worst out of the three teams, the Steelers, the Ravens, or the Titans. And I said the Ravens, and I still probably think that. But the overall point was the Bills can stack up against any of them. And yeah, they got the toughest of the three, but those are the breaks. You know, they'll have to beat them and probably the Chiefs to get to the Super Bowl. And that's how this thing works. So buckle up.
As Sean McDermott likes to say often, iron sharpens iron. Prove it.
Yeah.
You got to prove that you're the best team.
Go get some.
It's that simple. I think that's an apt way to end it. All right. So that'll do it for us. You will next hear from us in the wee hours of the morning. We'll probably be recording somewhere around 3 or 4 in the morning on Sunday after the Bills-Ravens matchup, and we'll try and diagnose what happened, see maybe where things went right, where things went wrong, everything in between, and hand out some awards along the way. And we'll see if the Bills can actually make it 2-for-2 in the playoffs this year and get to the AFC Championship game for the first time since the early 90s. All right, so for Matthew Fairburn, my name is Joe Biscaglia. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Buffalo Beat, and we will talk to you after the game on Saturday night. See you then.